Hey everyone, it's Kendra Rommel with the Rommel Report. This is a podcast where I interview the who's who within my community to build your business and help you build your network. Most of all, build your wealth portfolio. Join me on my adventures with friends where I interview them to get you the most valuable content for your business so you too can scale up. Hey everyone, it's Kendra Rommel with the Rommel Report. I am sitting next to somebody extremely inspiring and motivating. He's got a resume beyond belief, but he is a three-time international best-selling author. He is a top 100 business coach. He is the co-founder of Sports One Marketing. He is a three-time international best-selling author. He also has a podcast called The Playbook. And so much more. So without further ado, David Meltzer.
Oh, thank you so much for having me at this lovely day in the park. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you. So let's jump into it because I really am so excited and inspired by your mission statement, which is to empower over 1 billion people to be happy. So like I was saying, I can't even make my kids or my family happy most days. So I want to know how you intend to do that and what that means.
First of all, nobody feel bad. I can't make my kids happy either. But I have three teenage daughters. So that's quite an achievement if you can make three teenage daughters happy. But it all started really to understand happiness and how powerful happiness is. And for me, I realized that happiness is a virus. It's the most contagious virus of all. It's the only virus that can be spread by witnessing it. And it strengthens every part of us, mentally, physically, emotionally, financially. It even strengthens our immune system, so it protects us. But I have three daughters, like I said, and one day, the youngest one, when she was 12, came home crying. And I hardly can say the story without choking up, but she had a friend that killed themselves at 12. I was sitting there going, okay, so how does a 12-year-old get so unhappy that they would take a 12? Like, I understand people that have chemical dependencies and depression, but 12 years old, that's not supposed to happen. So I started to do research. And what I found was that unhappiness is turning into a disease, that anxiety, depression, suicide is at its all-time high. Statistically, you know, how can it be that it's the fastest growing cause of death? You know, and not just in people that are 18 to 28, where you may anticipate there being depression and anxiety,
right.
But young kids, 12 to 16, or even older people that should have the wisdom and enlightenment in order to effectuate happiness in their life. So I started, as I usually do, with math. Mm-hmm. And I said, how am I going to create a collective consciousness of happiness? Because I really wanted to change the world. How many people would I need? I'm blessed to be around celebrities, athletes, entertainers, media, billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs. How can I get these people to help me? And I started realizing that if I could empower 1,000 people, something in my lifetime, you know, I could actually achieve and teach them just simply to empower another 1,000, to empower another 1,000, that 1,000 times 1,000 is a million times 1,000 is a billion people is about an eighth of the earth. If I could create a collective consciousness of happiness from an eighth of the people on earth, I believe that one particle of light overcomes a million particles of darkness. I could humbly, with no one knowing who I was or what I was about, as someone who has elevated other people's brands and empowered other people, I really believe that I could change the world. And when I started telling people I was speaking on stages and writing books, they laughed at me, they scoffed at me, they made fun of me. But it was funny because I would start my speeches when I realized, like, you, my own family, what do you think, you're Tony Robbins? You think you're Jesus Christ? You're gonna change the world? Like, literally, my own family
would say
that.
I'm sure.
And so I started staying on stages when we could in front of audiences, and I'd start by saying, who here thinks I can change the world? And people were kind of taken back. Nobody raised their hand. Maybe some people that, you know, barely knew me. But then I'd say, okay, how many of you think that I can, in my lifetime, find 1,000 people that I can empower to be happy? And I take them through the math, and by the end of my speech, after they learned the daily practices of being happy, the values of being happy, the discipline of being happy, the perspective of being happy, I would then pull the audience, the same audience that laughed at me, scoffed at me, made fun of me, and they would applaud me.
Yeah, right. Well, how could you not? So that actually brings up a great thought in me, which is the key point here is you made a conscious decision, right? Starting with the decision of researching happiness, what that means, or sadness to, you know, if we talk about the roots. So every day you wake up and make a conscious decision, right? And I talk to my children, I mean, I hate to continue to bring them up, but obviously common denominator here. And so I just had this discussion with my son, who's 14, same thing, going into high school. He's facing children committing suicide more so than there ever was in the past that I remember as being a child. So I told him happiness is a decision. Swinging your legs out in the morning and committing to being happy and positive is a decision. So I want to pose that same question to you. How does it start with you each and every minute of each and every day?
So for me, there's four key values, and it started with my mom. I was born, raised with six kids and a single mom. Mm-hmm. And as much as we didn't have, we had so much positivity and love in my house that the only thing we were missing was money. Mm-hmm. And so for me, if I came down with the wrong perspective, my mom would send me back to my room. So she made us say thank you before we went to bed for everything we were thankful for, and thank you when we woke up. And if we came down without being grateful, she would make us go back upstairs. So she created the first kind of Dave Meltzer enjoying the consistent, persistent pursuit of my own potential. She created this attitude of gratitude that really throughout my life was something that created abundance and happiness. And when I lost my gratitude, I was a multimillionaire in my 30s, ended up losing everything. When I say that, I mean economically over $100 million. But more importantly, I lost the four values that my mom taught me. And one, and most importantly, was perspective, mm-hmm. like you said. Mm-hmm. It's a practice to find the light, the love, and the lessons in everything. It's a conscious decision. It's a discipline to do anything and be able to say, here's the light, the love, and the lessons. I see pain as most people see pain as a stop sign, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. right? And especially now, because people are so ingrained into this, you know, entitled, you know, real pleasure, instant gratification. They can't stand pain. Right. I'm the opposite. I don't see pain as a stop sign. It's not telling me to stop. It's telling me, hey, you have something to learn. I'm going to push you in a better direction. Mm-hmm. Pain actually pushes me in a better direction. And then I have faith that I'll end up somewhere even better than that. And that all stems from having these core values, one being gratitude. And so I teach gratitude first before anything. And I teach people to make a practice of finding light, love, and lessons in everything.
That's awesome. I would say to you from a different perspective, somebody who doesn't even know what that is, right? Didn't have the blessing of being raised in a home that had any optimism, right? Whether it was economically, their family dynamic. How does that person have the same opportunity that you and I sitting on this stage are fortunate enough to have to see that perspective, not just see it, but help realize it every day and pass that perspective on to people? So how does that person get started?
So we have to develop consistency, mm-hmm. and have someone understand how things are generated and how what I call segmentation exists. And when we start explaining to people that it doesn't matter where you are, that you can be happy where you are and realize you're in the right place, as long as you have the desire to be what you must be and angle to what you want and have faith that you'll end up somewhere better. And if you're willing to be consistent, I could teach someone how the cellular structure of our bodies takes in data every day in a consistent manner. So I'll start and tell someone, do you have 2 minutes? I'll change your life. Give me 2 minutes, that's all I need. And that's because I know if they give me 2 minutes a day, it's worth more than 2 hours on a Saturday.
Right.
And I know how the expansive universe and the expansive mind works, that if I give and lower you the bar and tell you I need 2 minutes, that after you're done with 2 minutes, it's so easy, you'll give me 4, 8, 16, and I can create exponential growth, acceleration, and change as long as someone stays consistent. Because the way the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious continuum works, the way the human body, soul, and mind all work together, is that if you can get someone to do something every single day, the cellular memory we have that is based off of our senses and our memory. Senses are faulty, the memory is even more faulty. Mm-hmm. But if we do something every day, it gets ingrained into our memories, our subconscious, There's 40,000 of the same thoughts that are harnessing and regenerating to create neural pathways in our brain, which signal our own characteristic personality, obsessions, and addictions. They signal what I call a quantum memory. They signal your DNA. They can change that chain of someone who's born into negativity, born into poverty, born into alcoholism, born into disease. You actually can effectuate change. So knowing how the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious continuum work, lowering the bar and asking someone for 2 minutes, and then giving them simple things like, all I want you to do is to say thank you before you go to bed and when you wake up. And if you can do that for 30 straight days, I will guarantee them that their life will change. Now, I'll also warn them that 99% of the people that I give this challenge to can't do it. I actually would challenge all the speeches. I traveled 200 days a year, spoke on stages all around the world, and I felt like such a hypocrite because I challenged people saying, look, you want to change your life? Give me 0.1 seconds. Say thank you before you go to bed and when you wake up 30 straight days. It took me 9 months. Me, who was born into this stuff, took me 9 months to get out of my own way and not forget one day. I always would forget a night or a morning. It's so difficult for the human mind, body, and soul to do something consistently.
Yeah.
But you get the benefit of exponential growth and acceleration if you can have someone harness that power of consistency, which leads to persistency, which is not quitting, which is the number one thing that stops us
as
we quit
and
getting in our own way, and then allow them to pursue their own potential. We develop that side of it to vote for what they want.
Well, I mean, I think that this is the huge divide between entrepreneurs and non-entrepreneurs, right? This is the divide because it takes work, right? There is no magic formula. It takes the consistency. I just had this conversation with one of my teammates last night. I said, yes, you tried really hard for 2 days. What happened to the other days of the week, right? Or the other months? And you could sit on stage and preach fundamentals of, you know, like sales philosophy, etc. And it does roll back to these character traits and these habits that we consistently choose to adopt, right? And so I'm going back kind of, I'm digressing to the same questions somewhat in that, do you ever feel, based on what you just stated, do you ever feel it's too late for a person to make that decision?
And so it gets more and more difficult because of the habits that we have to break. Remember, if you have something that's ingrained into your quantum memory, it could take lifetimes to change it. So it depends on your own DNA of where, and I'll use, you know, alcoholism as an example. Most scientists will tell you a habit can be formed in 21 days from consistent behavior. That's not true if you've inherited from four generations the addictive behavior of being addicted to alcohol. It could take you lifetimes. That's why some people can stop drinking anytime, and other people, they have one sip of alcohol and they're off into the deep end again. So it's not a matter of age, it's more a matter of your DNA, your quantum memory, and your genetics that will stop you. But everyone should understand one thing. 99% of the people quit before they're 25% away from a goal. Of that 99%, 1% continue on. 99% of the 1% quit before they're 50% of the way there. And then the 1% of the 1% end up achieving what they want to do. And I'll tell you why. It's because they don't understand math. The expectations are mismanaged from the very beginning. I set 20-year goals on a lot of things, including building my brand. I met a guy named Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yeah,
he's very well known in digital marketing. I was helping him with his sports agency with his brother. I asked him for help to build what I call the middle-aged mutant turtle brand. And he laughed at that. You know, I was 50 years old. 50 years old, there was nobody else 50 years old on Instagram.
Right.
And I said, do you think I could do this? Because Gary likes my speeches and my books.
Yeah, right.
And he's inspired by them. I go, do you think Instagram would dig Dave Meltzer? And he goes, I do. And I said, well, he goes, what do you want to do? I said, I'll take a 20-year plan. I want two ambassadors year one. He goes, what's an ambassador? You mean a follower? I go, no, I want two people that will tell two people, you gotta read his books, watch him speak, listen to his podcast. Everything Dave Meltzer does, I love. I need in year one to find two people that love me and will sell me to two other people. Right. And he goes, what's that gonna do?
Yeah, right.
I said, it's gonna make me the most popular 70-year-old on the internet. He said, what are you talking about? I said, I have a 20-year plan. And here's the thing. I said, Gary, when will I be halfway there if I have a 20-year plan? when will I be? He said, 10 years. I said, no, I'm only halfway there in 19 years. Because what happens with exponentiality and growth and acceleration is that if I start with two people and go to four to eight, eight to 16,
right.
I'm 25% of the way there in 18 years. Then it doubles again. I'm 50% of the way there in 19 years. This is the problem why people quit, is their expectations are mismanaged. They're attaching their emotions, their happiness to the outcome.
Right.
I'll be happy when I have 2 million followers getting me 2 million followers in 20 years. Right. That's when Dave Meltzer will be happy. That's what I used to do. I'll be happy when I graduate law school. I'll be happy when I marry my dream girl. I'll be happy when I'm a millionaire, when I have 100 million. Not anymore. I enjoy the consistent every day, right? Persisting without quit. And if I can teach someone to detach their emotions from that outcome, understand segmentation, acceleration, and growth in that manner, they won't be disappointed at 10 years when they're not nearly 50% of the way there. They'll have the faith they're going to get there and reap the rewards of what people call the hockey stick in entrepreneurship and get to see this.
Yeah, right.
And that's what's happening with my brand now. And I had faith that it would happen.
Wow. So that was actually a thought I had before meeting you was I was just looking, you're very accomplished in either business startups, investing in businesses, the sports and entertainment realm, as we would call it. And now you've started branding yourself, right?
Yeah.
So this, whether it's fun, whether it's a passion, why now? Why are you just now starting your brand?
Well, I love people when they say I have accomplishments. I always joke around, if I could pay everyone's state and federal income taxes, I'd be very popular. I think I'm very popular because I pay a tax that's much more expensive. I pay people's dummy tax because I am so accomplished because I've paid so much in dummy taxes in all those areas you were talking about that other people don't have to make the same mistakes I did. The reason I decided to do it now was as a marketer, a brander, an advertiser, endorser, the things that I did. I ran the most notable sports agency in the world, Lee Steinberg Sports Entertainment. I ran one of the greatest marketing and media companies in sports entertainment with Warren Moon. What I learned was about community. And even in the entrepreneur days, when I had Dr. Jacobs from Qualcomm as a mentor of mine, and I walked around Qualcomm and he asked me, what business am I in, Dave? I'm like, the chip business, CDMA, dual mode chips. He said, no, I own the customer. What I realized by watching Gary Vee and a few other people that I saw doing stuff on social media was you could build a community if you were nobody. Like if you were some obnoxious New Jersey guy that sold wine, you could be the most popular person and be seen for the genius that you are.
Right.
And I always knew from my books and speaking and coaching and things that I did that I had good content and good ideas that resonated at least with some segment. I figured no better time to reach a community of 4.4 billion people and send my frequency out there. And one of the biggest inspirations to me, a lot of people laugh at me, is the Pimple Pop, Dr. Pimple Popper.
Yeah.
And let me tell you why. Because I looked at that content, which grosses me out. I'm not a big fan.
I was just going to say,
I'm not a big fan. I'm not a big fan. But when I noticed that the Dr. Pimple Popper had more YouTube subscribers, more people who love or hate or whatever watch her than the entire Pro Football Hall of Fame, who was my marketing client, every single Hall of Famer, my superheroes from Joe Montana, right, all the way down, you aggregate all of my heroes and the Pimple Popper lady has more people that love her. That's when I said, wait a second, I have a huge opportunity because I have my own frequency and it's more at least inspiring than pimple popping.
Yeah.
And I would have died before to get in front of 50,000 people. I laugh now because, you know, I have teenage daughters, super into digital media, super proud of the fact I'm verified on every platform and I have hundreds of thousands of followers and millions of people viewing me. But I still rejoice when someone in my company is like, dude, this video sucked. It got 100,000 views. And in my mind, I was like, I would have paid money to step on a stage for you know, 5 minutes for 100,000 people to watch me.
Yeah.
Right? Every single, and now they say I suck because 100,000 people like me. This is crazy.
But this is the difference in generation. It's a generational gap, right? Like our kids will look at us and be like, 40 million, what are you? You know what I mean? And you and I can sit up here and go, I'm so grateful 10 people showed up. You know, like if I change just one of those 10, we've done our job, right? Yeah.
And the difference is I know how to monetize those people. I know how to empower those people. I know how to change those people's lives. I'm not just sitting on TikTok like a dancing bear,
yeah, right,
holding a bracelet to sell. Like I appreciate that frequency.
Yeah.
I've made tons,
yeah,
of money off that frequency in my life.
Yeah.
But I'm actually changing lives because there's a huge community to inspire.
Right. I love that. I mean, really, we're in a, if you're an opportunist, social media is just that, right? I mean, where else can you go? There's no print advertising. There's nothing that is in comparison or runs parallel with the amount of people you can impact with social media. I personally had the hardest time getting on social media, just because I saw it as a vanity thing, and I'm the furthest from that. So I had a hard time adopting it. And once I did, and you get the positive response and how you can affect somebody on the other side of the United States or even the other side of the world, wherever the social media platforms are servicing you, it's pretty powerful, you know? I wanted to ask you, do you ever feel like you get lost in your own brand now that you're a brand?
Yeah. I don't, because you can't see outside of you what you don't see inside of you. Now I'm a little bit older, probably a little bit wiser. Like I said, I paid a lot more dummy tax.
Right.
And I understand branding and marketing. Mm-hmm. So for example, I take, I'm so old, some kids probably don't know who this is, but I take a Shakespearean view of social media. Mm-hmm. Clarity Experience provides this extraordinary virtual stage. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they do it all around the world, and they used to do live events.
Right.
But what makes it so unique about what I know that most people don't is most people would be interested in the video that we're doing right now.
Right.
I'm more interested in that camera over there, mm-hmm, because it's not the video that we're doing. What I'm able to do, thanks to Clarity as well, is I'm able to capture what we're doing, not the whole interview. Mm-hmm. I can capture a billboard. And I could put it behind me. So if I had a billboard on the 405 freeway, most people in the old days were like, that's a waste of money. A million cars used to drive by. During COVID, no one's driving by. Doesn't matter anymore because I took a picture of the billboard on the 405.
And
now it sits behind me here.
Yeah.
And now it gets 40 million views because I do 3 interviews in front of my own billboard for Alkaline 88 Water, who's a sponsor in Clarity Experience and Essence.
Yeah,
the
right.
Stage Theory says this, capture what you're doing,
right,
modify it, no
right,
matter what platform, print, radio, TV, billboards, I don't care what it is,
right,
interviews here,
right,
on a
right,
virtual stage, modify it so it fits the audience that you want it to reach, the time, vertical, horizontal, whatever music or not music that they like, then amplify it, not just on the platforms, but through the partners, just like, you know, I'm using Clarity as a good example,
right,
they
right,
amplify through me, right? Nobody would know, you know, Clarity Experience is the greatest virtual stage and live stage event planners in the world, but now they're all through my channel and then the other guy's channel.
Right.
Never before could a company be able to use a Dave Meltzer to amplify beyond what Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, et cetera would amplify.
Right.
And then here's where the real kicker goes for you and I both, perpetual content. Mm-hmm. We have younger kids.
Yeah.
I love
right,
when I come home and one of my kids said, Dad, have you ever seen the TV show Friends?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I love it. And then they yeah, spend like 3 weeks watching every Friends that you spent 30 years trying to consume. This is the key. I don't think people realize that you're perpetually, literally capturing content. I created my own Dave Meltzer search engine. And I come from legal
funny,
research online,
yeah,
because eventually I transcode and transcribe everything I do into words, mm-hmm, so that you can search someday anything that I say, be more interested than interesting, stage theory, Shakespeare, and find every video I ever did on it and answer your own question without me being there.
That's awesome.
Because that's perpetual strategy. Very few people do that. And it's so important that people understand how that segmentation works with the Shakespearean capture and stage theory.
That's so awesome. I mean, yeah, there's so much there. There's so much there. There's so much you can do, right? But you touched on something in what you just said beyond the meat and potatoes of what you said, which was you're leveraging your network consistently and your network is leveraging you. And that's okay. That's actually the way I think it's designed to be, which is why I started the Rommel Report and why, you know, I'm consistently
That's why I want to be on the Rommel Report.
Right. Right. So we can consistently leverage each other. But why not, right? When there's good people pushing out a good message, right? That walk that life, that live that life, that try to push out that impact. Network is so valuable, right? Every day I walk into my CrossFit and I tell my gym owner, I am so grateful to be a part of this network. Most people call it a community, but we have successful to starting entrepreneurs that most people won't tap into that potential, right? I mean, it's that elementary, is tapping into potential of your network. So you mentioned it about Mr. Qualcomm,
Dr. Jacobs, yeah.
Yeah, and walking around, and he said he owns the customer, right?
Yeah, to build his community, he could sell anything. He could sell insurance to a Qualcomm company. Whatever he wants to sell, once you own and have credibility and emotional attachment and have been able to provide value to someone, you can sell through them more than to them. And I think what you're describing most effectively is abundance. Mm-hmm. I've been blessed to live in three worlds. I grew up in a world of not enough. Mm-hmm. I was a victim, everything happened to me. I would sit there and ask my mom, why do they have that car? Why can they go to summer camp? Why not me? Why me, right? Mm-hmm. Then I became a millionaire 9 months out of law school, and I thought I had it. I lived in this world what I call just enough. Everything was just enough for me. I bought things I didn't need. If I wasn't happy, I'd buy different things. If I wasn't happy, I'd buy more things. I'd buy things to impress people I didn't even like, yeah. But it was all for me.
Right, right.
And the world you're talking about leveraging these networks and allowing for the Rama Report and Clarity Experience and Dave Meltzer all to aggregate our own community so that we can best effectuate value, mm-hmm. is the world of more than enough. Once you shift your paradigm and realize there's more than enough of everything for everyone,
100%.
That just because Dave Meltzer has followers doesn't mean that it takes away from me if my followers love you.
That's right.
It's not a quid pro quo. It's not a negotiation. There's no shortages, voids, and obstacles created by abundance. And I think more people have to realize, because the internet and social media is so abundant, we can't even fathom, you and I.
No way.
How many people and how many opportunities exist every single day. And instead of people trying to hoard and harbor the for me or the to me, instead, if you just had a little bit of faith that everything should come through you,
right.
Sell through others, for others. I shifted my paradigm of receiving. And I know people might find this a little weird. I used to always tell people, the more you give, the more you receive. And most people would believe that. Here, I can see everyone shaking their head, right? The more I give. But then it didn't make sense to me, because a lot of the people that believe that, like my mom, a second grade teacher, gave her life, worked two jobs, packed my dinner in a paper bag with peanut butter and jelly,
yep.
So she could fill turnstiles at a 7-Eleven with greeting cards. She always said, the more I give, the more I receive, honey. You know what? My mom never received shit. Excuse my language.
No, that's all right.
I started to focus in on, the more I receive, the more I can give. I have the exact same
100%.
Intention of my mom. My mom only wants to be of service and of value. I only want to be in service of value. The difference is, all we did is take two different approaches. Her approach was, I'll give everything to others, and she ended up with nothing. And
yeah.
She ended up with no way of giving.
Right.
Me, it's like, I will give everything to others, but I'm going to focus in on receiving everything so I can give.
Well, it's absolutely true. And so I shifted my focus about 2 years ago. I'm embarrassed to say it took that long. But I would tell you, for me, it changed to, wealth is the vehicle, not the purpose. But you have to have a vehicle, right? And so how does a person that's starting out, that seems like too big of a vision, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so how does a person achieve that amount of wealth? What is best practice by way of habit and mindset?
You're gonna love this, because it took me years to learn it myself. I have two words on my nightstand. Everyone would think it would be thank you. Thank you is inherent in my being. It's radical humility. The best way you can get there is to find someone that's already there and ask for directions. Mm-hmm. The best way, literally, why do you think maps and Google Maps and Waze, they work? Because they already know how to get there and they give you directions.
Right.
It's the fastest way. People don't ask for help. It is beyond me. But the biggest habit on my rebound, I lost over $100 million, made it back like this, and have made exponentially more and more and more, only because of one thing. Those two words on my nightstand, because I learned to ask one question. Hi, do you know anyone that can help me? I know my what. I'm not a big why person.
Yeah.
I think the why comes naturally.
Yeah, right.
People don't know. if you don't think people don't know what, do this weekend. Say, hey, what do you want to do?
Yeah, no.
What do you like?
No.
Nobody can answer the question.
Let's just start, what's for dinner?
What's for dinner?
God,
right, you're a mom,
like,
I forgot. You
yeah,
know the what.
No.
People don't take inventory of their values every day. They don't decide what, how do you know where you want to go if you don't know where you want to go?
Yeah, right.
How do you think you're going to get there? They don't know their what. And if you know your what, then ask people who have your what directions on how to get your what.
Right.
And sometimes the people even give it to you or they'll definitely help you get it.
Well, so that brings up another point, right? So in my moment of clarity, right, I'll say 2 years ago.
We're organically pumping clarity. I like that. What a clarity experience here. This is amazing. All my friends are like, yeah.
Yeah, right.
I'm a marketer. What can
hey,
I tell
it's
you?
It works, so let's yeah. do it. But I want to say that in this quest, I started saying, well, I need to start investing in myself, like actually spending money on myself for education or mentorship, which I had a hard time with because you see the Tony Robbins, not bashing Tony Robbins, but you see these guys and it's a lot of hoorah. It's a lot of things that, of course, it's motivating and inspiring, and a lot of people do need that. But I already knew my why. I just needed directions, better directions, right? I just felt like I really needed better directions. And shockingly, from a very high level executive CEO group association, I found like maybe a 70-30 split of people don't really just want to tell you, or they'll tell you just enough, right? And or there's, so how do you navigate best mentorship? And that's one piece of this. And two, why do you think it is? Is it pride that people hold back from what they think?
Sure. It's fear and scarcity why people won't give what they have.
Right.
It's fear that if they give you what they have, there won't be enough for them. And it invokes our basic primal fear of the ego. Right, the fear, flight, feed, so they don't think they're gonna be fed if they give you, and you see it in business all the time. Part of the reason I do a lot with St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, curing children's cancer, what turned me on to that place more than ever is it used to frustrate me in the medical industry, pharmaceuticals, big research centers at colleges and universities, the best names ever, they would do research to cure something and never share the information so that they could own the cure.
Right.
St. Jude, from Danny Thomas in the 1950s when he created it, immediately shared all of the findings to cure childhood cancer. Leukemia, 4% of the people lived childhood leukemia, 4% when he started lived. Today, 97% of kids with leukemia
That's
live.
That's awesome.
Why? Because they've shared the information to get the answers. And they don't care who has the cure.
Who monetizes it.
And that's the same thing from your mentors. They want the cure themselves.
Right.
And they want to be able, and they think there's not enough of everything. And for me, it's so important if you're going to pay for mentorship. And I mentor a lot of celebrities, athletes, entertainers, media, billionaires, millionaires, chairmen of Fortune 10 companies. Mm-hmm. And I let them know every month, look, I'm a profit center. My job is to work month to month. I'm not one of those coaches, they lock, oh, don't worry, we'll get there in a year.
Yeah.
And you see these guys. And please, if you're looking for mentorship, there's two types. There's motivators, guys that will get you up, get you back up, get you started, get you restarted.
Right.
But there's also mentors that get you there. People who sit in a place where you want to be and tell you how to get there and work with you and open up doors of not only what, but who to talk to, et cetera.
Right.
Make them, the people that work for you, your mentors, make them guarantee profit.
Right.
I that's the only way I coach people. I work month to month and guarantee profit. You get all your money back if I haven't made you more money, whether it's $50,000 a month or $5,000 a month. You better make more than that. Mm-hmm. I'm a profit center. And what happens is when you turn that paradigm of receiving to somebody and hold them to the fire for quantitative value, if they're gonna charge you, the whole game changes because they really have to know what they're talking about
right.
and they really need to get you there.
Right.
Otherwise, there's a bunch of people out there pretending.
Yes.
I've had 19-year-olds tell me, oh, I'm a life coach.
Right.
And I was like, okay, how much, it'll be like me as a Pop Warner football player at 9 going, I'm a football coach.
Yeah,
how could you know enough about football at 9 years old? You're a life coach, I hope you're at least 60 years old.
Well, to the same token though, just because you're of age, right, doesn't mean that that warrants mentorship either.
Oh, no. Right? You have to be in a situation that you want to be in.
Right, right. So I think that those things are
In fact,
things
some
are
of the
important.
Best marriage, you know, there's some of the best marriage coaches have been divorced 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
They make great marriage coaches. They know what not to do. I tell people all the time, I'm an extraordinary human being because my dad was so screwed up, he taught me what not to do.
It's
Sorry,
true.
My dad died, but he would be dying right now if he heard that.
It's so crazy. It's crazy. I could talk seriously about so much more. It's been so much fun hanging out with you, but I know we're getting close to time, and you run a tight ship with your schedule.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people want to talk to you. So thank you so much for spending time with us. And I hope that we can chat again soon.
Absolutely. If I could just add one more thing.
Yeah.
I give free trainings every Friday to empower over 1 billion people to be happy. So anybody that wants to join me every Friday or watch the replays on Spotify or Entrepreneur, all the platforms, just email me directly, david@dmeltzer.com. I just had to add that it's free. Don't worry. People are more surprised that nothing sold at the end. It won't be. It's just a free training to empower you.
That's actually, I don't know why I didn't ask you that. I was so caught up in thought of, you got my thoughts, you know, you're such a thought leader and you got my thoughts going, but I always ask people, how do we contact you? So for everyone, say your email address again.
david@dmeltzer.com. Free trainings every Friday. Replays are featured on Spotify and Entrepreneur and all the different platforms available to you. It is all free. My books, exercises, guides, and even training course are all free.
And you said the most recent name of your book, say it one more time, because I
watched. Game Time Decision Making is the most recent book. And I have 3 other books from Connected to Goodness, Compassionate Capitalism, and Unstoppable, Creating the Life You Love, which I was blessed to write with Jack Canfield from Chicken Soup for the Soul.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations on your success, honestly.
Thank you.
Take it. Please take it.
I'll receive it so I can give it to
it.
Others.
Exactly. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to The Rommel Report with David Meltzer. I'm so happy that you all joined us, and I'm hoping that you got some great content from him. See you next time.